The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's racing in Nace. A good card to look forward to there with the listed King's First Novices Hurdle and the Nace Director's Plate Novices Chase, a Grade 3 contest. The two highlights on the card. My name is Mark Walton and joining me on the line to look ahead to the action is William Hill Radio's Irish Racing expert Andy Holding. How are you, Andy?
Morning, mate. Hey, I'm fine.
You well? Good. You all set for Cheltenham then? Just a few days away now?
Yeah, can't wait. Yeah, it's... Even more keen anticipated because of the weather I think we're going to have. Unprecedented, I think, almost this week. It's going to be glorious. 16, 17 degrees, bright sunshine, no rain. The only slight concern is that the ground might dry out, and that's causing one or two trainers to have palpitations with good ground horses. They're on the phone with their begging bowl, aren't they, to Simon Clayes not to stick any... water on the track.
Yeah, it's remarkable considering the last few weeks we've had, our last few months, the considering watering even. So that's a bit of an upturn. I mean, in Leeds today, where I'm recording from, it's a glorious sunny day. If it stays like this next week, it'll be marvellous.
I don't see any reason why it won't, unless the forecasters are wrong.
Yeah.
And they have been before, but I think with the Azores highs we're having at the moment, then... It's going to take a bit of shifting, to be fair. So, yeah, I think there's no reason to believe that it won't be a week bathed in sunshine. Okay. It'll be great. So I can put my coat away.
Yeah, it's always nice. This is the last meeting in Ireland before the Cheltenham Festival. All the horses that will be running at Cheltenham will be on the boat by now, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. One that won't be on the boat is Under Sue. That was confirmed on Saturday. I think we kind of expected that, though, didn't we?
We did, yeah, along with Annie Power. They were just there in case anything happened to Hook and Fly in the interim, and they could obviously go in as, good substitutes. But yeah, with Hurricane Fly and the champion in the same stable, they were always looking to bypass it one way or the other. Under Sue will probably be kept for either Fairy House or, more importantly, Punchestown.
Yeah, and of course, Annie Power goes for the World Hurdle instead. So plenty to look forward to. We'll be hearing from Andy next week as well before racing every day. I'm right in thinking that, Andy?
That's correct, yeah. I'm looking forward to doing a little preview each day, as I usually do, on the Wayne Room steps with Niall Hannity. Ken Peterson will be putting his two pennies in as well. Whether I'll be doing one Friday is open to debate, because I've got a small matter of Rutherglen being saddled up and coming into the unsaddling enclosure. So my usual stint around about the 1 o'clock sort of to quarter past one mark might be slightly in jeopardy. Courtesy of Rutherglen. So yeah, I'm not sure about that one, but yeah, the rest of the 3 days I'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm sure we can let you off as soon as you have a runner. Right, let's get stuck into this then, Andy. The first race this afternoon is the 2:30, and we start with a beginner's chase over 2 miles, and the favourite is Ballynacree this morning at 15-8, and if he's ready to go after a 438 day absence, I know it's his chase debut, but his pedigree suggests, or his relative suggests, that he should be able to jump a fence. What do you make of Ballynacree? Do you think this is a good opportunity for him?
Yeah, I've been waiting for him to go over fences. He's always looked the type to go to the larger obstacles. Big, strong type by Westerner. He was a bit disappointed last time we saw him at Limerick, but the ground was bottomless that day, and I don't think he really wants a ground as bad as that. He'd won on decent surface at Fairy House the time before at their April meeting, and that was a Grade 3. We haven't seen him since, which is a slight concern. He's been off the best part of 18 months, so he's obviously had trouble of some description. So he's a bit of a dodgy betting proposition from a fitness point of view. There's no denying that he's probably the best long-term project in this race. Miley Shah would be a horse that perhaps a year or two ago would have been a lot shorter in the betting for a race like this, because he was very much on the upgrade, but he's subsequently gone backwards, and his last three runs over fences, albeit one of them was behind Defy Logic, haven't been all that great. So I'm only really left with one to select here, and that's Back to Baloo, Colin Bratney's 8-year-old, who's had 4 starts over fences, outclassed in a very good race at Leopardstown 2 starts ago, and indeed the time before at Fairy House. But in a handicap last time out, he was in the process of running a huge race when they dropped him in trip, and they made the running with him And that new tactic looked like paying off, because he was still going very, very strongly when he fell at the second last, that notorious second last, which a lot of horses seem to just get wrong completely, whether it was a low sun issue or not, I don't know, because it was quite bright that day. He just seemed to take his eye off the ball and sort of like hook his way to the left and put in an extra stride, and he dumped David Casey on the turf. It was really odd, because prior to that he jumped fantastically well. So I'll just put it down to, like I say, that second last claiming another victim. I presume he'll be ridden quite aggressively, knowing that those tactics worked the last day. And, you know, if the favourite or the paper favourite in the morning, Bound the Cree, isn't in need of a run, then one way to test him is to make him have it. And I think Back to Blue will do that.
Okay, on to the 3 o'clock next. This is one of the big races at Nace today. This is the listed King's First Novices Hurdle. It's over 2 miles and 13 of them in the lineup at the time of recording. Quick Pick Vic heads the betting at 7-4. Champagne James is 5-1. A bit of money for Empire of Dirt, who's 15-2 into 13-2. Carriganog is 15-2. 8s for Sizing Cadelco and 10-1 and double figure prices the remaining runners. Who do you like for the 3 o'clock, Andy?
I like Champagne James here. The odd thing I can't work out is why he's 5-1. I'd have him a lot shorter than this. It basically gives us a perfect opportunity to back this horse each way. Manor from Heaven, a horse priced up like that for me, because I'd have him in about a 3-1 chance here. He's already beaten Quick Vic early on in the season as well, which is even more odd. That was when they chased down the wildly impressive winner on the day, Double Irish, who recorded an unbelievable speed figure that day. That was no great surprise that Champagne James couldn't live with Gordon Elliott's charge on that occasion. But 7 lengths back in third was Quick Vic, who had every chance. Champagne James then bumped into a strong stone, a nice horse in the shape of Mr. Nibbles, the next time at Leopardstown. But more importantly, he ran here last time at the maiden hurdle and broke his maiden tag in a very impressive fashion. I mean, his odds suggested he would, and he got the job done when he was a 4-9 poke to beat a fairly modest field. But I do like the way he really powered on late on. I don't think he'll have any concerns dropping back in trip. As you can see by his form figures, he's an incredibly consistent animal. So we're going to get a huge run out of Champagne James, but he's got course form. That's what I love here. We know he stays, and if you handle this track, then you've got a good degree of confidence that a horse is going to perform somewhere near his best level. And it'll take a bit of a miracle for him not to be in the frame, to be honest. So I think 5-1, Champagne James gets the nap vote this afternoon at Nace in the 3 o'clock.
Okay, Champagne James, the nap selection then for Andy in the 3 o'clock. On to the 3:30 next. This is the Grade 3 Nace Director's Plate Novice Chase. It's over 2.5 miles, and we have an odds-on favourite this morning in the shape of Bright New Dawn, who's 8-11. Letter of Credit is 4-1. Mulligan O'River is 6-1. Owega Star, 8s, 16s for Leave the Light On. And Cold Stone Sober is the 50-1 outsider. So the big race of the day, Andy, who would you side with in the 3:30?
Yeah, this looks a good opportunity for Bright New Dawn to continue on the upward curve. He's already won a Grade 2 as well when he lowered the colours of the Useful Maloney at Navan last time out, travelling and jumping well at the head of affairs. And since he's had the hood on, he seems to become a totally different proposition. He's second behind Jack Adam the time before, gaining another fast time in a Grade 2. And Desi Hughes mapped him out, or we thought he might be mapping him out for a tilt at the JLT at the Cheltenham Festival, which has obviously now been bypassed. I think that's probably quite a good decision. Kingstown stood are bound to have another runner in that race with a good chance. And he's just the kind of horse perhaps that probably isn't ready for that kind of battle yet. I think he's okay in these little small fields in Ireland when he perhaps can dictate and do his own thing and get his confidence up. Where, you know, if they sent him into the white-hot battle of a Cheltenham Festival race, that might do a little bit of damage to the rest of his career from a mental perspective. So I think it's a really good decision for Desi Hughes. He's obviously minding this horse. Who is still, even though he's a 7-year-old, a bit of a shell of an animal. I think the best is yet to come. And I expect him to make all the running here and lower the colours of some useful animals, but without anything being really in the same kind of quality and potential as Bright New Dawn.
On to the 4 o'clock next, which is a race 4 on the card, and this is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and it's for 4-year-olds and overrated, 0-140, and it's wide open as well. The betting is 5-1 on the field with Ryzovic the market leader. Talbot Road is 11-2, 10s for Rory O'Moore, 10s for Hazariban as well, and Enchanted Forest, and As It So Happens, and Sammy Black and Divine Rhapsody. It's then 12-1 for Some Officer and Pair of Brown Eyes, and 14-1 or bigger prices the rest. So as the betting suggests, Andy, very open race here. How would you play the 4 o'clock?
I quite like the chances of as so it happens here. I thought that race that he ran in a couple of starts ago at Gowran was quite a good main hurdle. We've already seen horses out of that race victorious. Of course, Sizing Granite from the Henry de Brom headcamp won at Gowran Park the other day. The Winkler's a nice horse, the horse who won it. And several others in that field have come out and shown that form to be really good. As it so happens, of course, himself has boosted the form with the win next time out at Thurles. He's up in trip, but I don't think that will be any concern to this horse, who seems to stay really well. And don't forget, you go back to early on in the season, he was second to City Slicker at Punchestown. Now, City Slicker's been contesting some really good handicaps so far this season. I think they brought him over for the Betfair hurdle at Ascot, albeit he didn't really cut much ice. But he's rated 140, William Mullins' charge. So off 118, Moses McCabe, six-year-old, has, I think, got in quite lightly here. He's a very consistent animal, and I think he appeals here around about the 10 or 12 to 1 mark. So as it so happens, at a decent price each way in that 4 o'clock.
Okay. The 4 o'clock is race 5, 4.30, sorry, is race 5 on the card, and this is a maiden hurdle over 3 miles. And at the top of the betting, we've got two horses that seem to like the runner-up berth more than the winner's berth. Shoot Hall and Shield, they've both finished second on their last three outings. Do you see either of them going one better here, Andy, or is there something to take them on with again?
Yeah, I think we'll go for one at a bigger price here. I'll just deal with the front two in the market in isolation. I think the horse with the best form has to be Shoot Hall, of course. He was second to the Neptune favourite, Fahim, last time we saw him. That was back in November. He got beat 6 lengths, so that wasn't a bad run at all. He's a fairly consistent performer, as you can see by his form figures. He's a nice type as well. I think he'd be better suited to the better ground. He's come from almost like the good ground summer jumping sphere. So he's an obvious player. The problem with Shield is that the ground was too heavy for him last day here when he was sent off a short price favourite. But I think his best form, or the best of him, will be seen now the ground's drying out. And of course, he's yielding to soft and drying all the time. So you can make a good case out for him. The one I do like at a price, 14 to 1 with William Hill this morning, however, is Grand Partner, also running a very good bumper here the last day behind No More Heroes, who bypasses the Cheltenham Festival. But he's certainly got plenty of boot, that Gordon Elliott chain individual. We'll probably see him in the Grade 1 at Punchestown in a month's time. He'd won a bumper the time before at Fairy House, beating Lord Scoundrel, of course, won for the podcast the other day. And, you know, he's got a bit of form over hurdles. I think the better ground will suit him. And he's around about 14 to 1, 16 to 1, as I said this morning. So Grand Partner each way in the 4.30. Looks a fair bit of business there from where I'm sitting.
Okay, Grand Partner each way then in the 4.30, and on to the penultimate race. This is the 5 o'clock, the Leinster National Handicap Chase, a Grade B handicap chase over 3 miles, and Los Amigos heads the betting, a progressive young horse who's got some pretty decent form in the book and ran a blinder in the Thai Estes last time, Andy. With this being slightly less of a challenge, do you think he can go one better here?
Well, he's certainly the pick on that run, isn't he, in the Thai Estes. You know, on his own has won since, and I think they're muted to be running in the Gold Cup with that horse. I think William Mullins had a bit of a change of heart. I think he was going to run him in the National, but he's decided to go for the big one because he's in such good form. So it just shows you what Los Amigos was facing on that particular occasion. The only slight concern I've got is he's going left-handed. He's only run once going left-handed, and all his best form's going right-handed. He's actually run 13 times, no less, going in a clockwise direction. So that's my only negative with him. I actually think the best form away from Los Amigos' obvious claims is the one that is held by Folsom Blue and Shawshu Dunn in that race over a similar trip at Punchestown on the 2nd of February. It was the day that Conor O'Dwyer's charge really came of age when he stayed on very strongly to beat Sole Witness. He's always been looking as though he's crying out for a trip, this 7-year-old. Prior to that, he'd been running over 2 miles, 2.5 miles. But he's all about stamina, Folsom Blue. They dropped him back to 2.5 last time out of Grade 2, and of course that didn't work either when he saw the backside of his ownership horse, same ownership horse, Mosseltoff. But he's got no Mosseltoff in this race today. I think he'll be made plenty of use of, and of course Brian Cooper's quite complimentary about him in his preview today in the Racing Post. But as I said, also back in the field that day was Shawshu Dunn. Now, he's a course winner as well, so I do like horses who've performed well at this track before. He probably would have needed that run the other day in that race that was won by Folsom Blue. That was his first run of the season. Now the cobwebs have been blown away. I think there's every chance that this horse will step up to the plate. The yard's in good form as well. Philip Rothwell's horses are in good nick. And if you go back a year, virtue to the day, he was second to Panther Claw in a very competitive novices final a similar race to this, like a grinding 3 miles. So I do think Sure She Done is slightly overpriced at double figures this morning. So I'm going to back the both against the field. Folsom Blue stays really well, and he's still on the upgrade. And also Sure She Done has got course form in the book from an in-form yard with that run under his belt.
Okay, and the final race at Nace this afternoon is the 5:30. We finish with a 2 mile bumper, and we have a very heavily odds on favourite in the shape of Lock, Stock and Barrel, who's 2-11, trained by Willie Mullins. Patrick Mullins will be in the saddle, a decent debut effort when second at Leopardstown, and a very rare runner in these colours as well, in the navy blue silks of Mrs. John Magnier. So what do you make of Lock, Stock and Barrel at the top of the betting, Andy?
Well, he was well fancied that day at Leopardstown. Of course, I was there. My first ever visit to Leopardstown was a very productive and enjoyable one. And because obviously you're at the track, you get to hear several tips going around. And the winner of the race, Vigil, was very well touted and was backed accordingly from 7-2 to 7-4. But they did feel at the Mullins camp that Lock, Stock and Barrel was, give the favourite a race. And give the favourite a race he did, albeit he was beaten fair and square in the end. He still comes out of the racing with good credit. He was well clear of the rest. And with that experience under his belt, it's pretty hard to look past. There's been money this morning for emerging talent, which is significant because Tom Nagel wouldn't be necessarily associated with too many first-time out bumper winners. So that one's obviously been doing some good stuff at home. And then the rest of them have just got modest form, including Sub-Lieutenant, who is probably a chaser in the making. I was there last year at Punterstown to see him run, and he looked a nice type in the preliminaries. I think I actually backed him that day, from memory serves me correct. I've probably got a lost betting ticket somewhere stuffed in my drawer with the name Sub-Lieutenant on it. So he's going to be a nice prospect for the future. But it's all about Lock, Stock and Barrel. He's going to be prohibitive. And unless you're really needy and greedy, you're not going to be getting too heavily involved.
OK, good stuff, Andy. Thank you very much. If you'd just spin us through your selections for Nace one more time in a nice little summary.
OK, back to Baloo. Hopefully he'll put it up to the favourite in the first race with his fitness advantage. Nap of the day is Champagne James. Particularly from an each-way perspective in that listed hurdle. Bright New Dawn should supplement his win last time out with another smooth victory in that graded chase. As it so happens, each way in the 4 o'clock looks a fairly safe option there with four places on offer. Grand Parno's a good, again, another good each-way proposition in the 4:30 over 3 miles. Folsom Blue and Sure She Done look the main two to concentrate, and then the Leinster National. And in the final race, Willie Mullins should get the perfect tonic for what should be a memorable week for that particular hander at the Cheltenham Festival with Lock, Stock and Barrel in the last.
OK, fantastic. Thank you very much, Andy. Good luck with your selections and enjoy Nace this afternoon, and we look forward to speaking to you every day ahead of Cheltenham next week.
OK, mate.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.